I said something like, oh, yes. Because I was at the point of asking you something, and that is, it concerns not Vietnam, but Laos. And this is almost a reminder more for myself to follow up on later, rather than to get all the nuts and bolts out of you right now, because you didn't know it before we started the tape. You were talking about one of the first directors up in Laos not working out and then having to pass through Vietnam.
Yes.
And what was that?
I really don't know what happened. I'm not sure whether it wasn't working out or whether it's, as you mentioned, that they may have had to move the team out of Zinh Quang. And some of them may have gone to Vincennes, and some of them came to Vietnam. Of course, I mentioned Larry Alsaker had to come to Vietnam when he got his leg cut off by the cable.
Right.
In Vietnam.
Well, that was in almost like an industrial accident.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this gentleman came along about that time also, and I don't remember whether there was someone else from Laos that was transferred in or not. That was just a few months before I left. And I'm really not sure if they decided what they were going to do with him. I don't know quite what they did do.
Was he a volunteer?
Yes, he was a chief of party at Zinh Quang in Laos. He came to Vietnam. He was not in the administration in Vietnam at that time. I'm not sure whether he was transferred to another country or whether he may have terminated and gone back to the States. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he was the leader of that Zinh Quang group.
That, as you mentioned, apparently there was overrun by the Path of Lao and they had to leave.
Yeah.
And that would have been, I think, early 61, about a year after I was there, but I can't give you the exact time.
Yeah, no, that's certainly going on in a country where you're not even living.
Yes.
You know, so I know that you can't be precise about the dates, but I wanted to review that point, simply so that it's on the tape and I can get to it later with other people or comparing notes and things like that. You mentioned, though, that the IVS and AID did have, that at least AID did help you with removing roadblocks and helping out IVS in terms of the program. Was that
they could
in
help.
General or you in specific?
No, I think with all of us. And if we got to a point maybe where we weren't getting the supplies or materials that we needed at our stations, we could frequently contact them and they could contact their counterpart in the Vietnamese government in the Ministry of Agriculture. And sometimes that would move things along. For instance, there was a common problem then with the station employees not getting paid. Sometimes they would be several months behind in getting their paychecks. And they couldn't even buy rice any longer because their credit was getting used up. So sometimes we even had to use our influence on trying to get the Vietnamese employees at the stations paid.
Oh, okay.
And it was worse, I think, at some of the other stations at times than it was at Hung Lao. But there were problems within the Vietnamese government then.
Mm-hmm.
And there was concern. Things that we wanted to do were things that we needed on the station, and there was concerns in Saigon, I guess, that communist activity might be greater around those areas than we realized. So they were hesitant to put funds into those stations, sometimes for political reasons that we knew nothing about, which I later learned
from
the Vietnamese government. So it was quite a interesting story of the interactions among the American volunteers and government groups and the Vietnamese government groups. So we would go to maybe our counterpart that was the manager at the crop station and wonder why he wasn't doing something. And maybe he'd been told by his superior from Saigon not to do it, and we didn't know about it.
Yeah.
So the communications sometimes didn't clarify those things.
But this isn't something that you ask AID to help out with or to intervene?
Well, only if something like that, that we, at the point where the workers might not show up because they weren't getting paid, that we would...
Pay is a different matter.
Yes.
But in terms of what you're going to work on and all that, that's government priorities.
Yes. And, of course, we tried to work within them on what their priorities were.
Yeah.
But sometimes there was a breakdown in communication on what we were being told and what our counterparts were being told sometimes. And then sometimes our counterparts would tell us, look, we can't do this because they won't provide this from Saigon. And that's when we might go to the IVS chief of party, perhaps, who might go to the USOM people, who might go to the Ministry of Agriculture,
mm-hmm.
and that might help some bureaucrat to move the paperwork along in his office. There were a lot of bureaucrats in the Ministry of Agriculture who just shuffled papers from one side of the desk to the other, we thought, at least. So there was, it took a long time to get approval sometimes.
Do you think that your counterparts were using you in a sense, knowing that you might have those connections to move things that they did not have?
Well, I'm sure that they thought if that would help, that they would discuss it with us, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Any situations you can think of that would tend to bear that out as being true?
Nothing specific. No.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Let's see. One thing that we also mentioned, but didn't follow up on, most of the people, at least in the first assignment, I'm not sure if both assignments, were refugees, weren't they?
You mean the people we were working with?
And the general population. Were they refugees from the north?
Well, in the small villages around Hung Lock,
yeah,
most of them, I think, were refugees that came in and settled that general area. I think that was primarily jungle through that area around Hung Lock and Long
Yeah, because they'd been all cut
and
down.
And Benoit before, and they settled a lot of them. Like around Benoit, when we drive to Saigon, there were some areas where you'd go through these villages for mile after mile, mm-hmm. and they would cut down the trees and make charcoal out of them because they had to have fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So they were really deforesting some of that area very rapidly.
How did you get along with the local population?
I didn't have that much contact with them because I wasn't in direct extension work that much. But we got along fine. We went into Hung Lock mm-hmm. and would have dinner, especially Sunday evening. I think our cooks didn't cook. So we would, late Sunday afternoon, we would drive into Hung Lock at a little restaurant there and have a bowl of pho, Chinese noodles
mm-hmm.
and rice. And we were welcome as far as we knew. And our cooks went to either Benoit or Hung Lock, the shop, for our groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And the people there on the station that we worked with, as far as we know, we got along all right. I didn't see any anti-American feeling while I was there.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any opportunity to really develop what you think would be a good friendship with any?
Well, our interpreters primarily.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you one experience that I thought was rather interesting. They sent out a film from Saigon, I guess from the government ministry, on it's just a general movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we set up, I guess, to show it against the whitewashed wall of one of our livestock buildings one evening. And by word of mouth, no publicity
uh-huh.
other than that I know of, people came in for that, and hundreds of people from the local community walked in and sat down there on the grass,
uh-huh.
wasn't inside of any building, and watched that movie. That only happened once, but that really impressed me, that the word of mouth had gotten around and the people came in. Now, there could have been more than that. There may have been pressure from local government officials for people to go. But to me, it just seemed like it was rather interesting that we were curious whether anybody would even come. But hundreds of people came in and sat around and watched that movie. But they didn't have any movies in that area, no movie theater. So the people there, it was really something different. So regardless it was propaganda, it was still different.
And entertaining, and it probably in Vietnamese, so...
As I recall, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would tickle them. Mm-hmm. You know, no, I don't know if it's worth walking a mile like for a camel, but it's still pretty good.
Now, while I was up at Blau, we had some opportunity to visit with some of the tribes people, the Mayo tribes.
Uh-huh.
But it was more of an informal basis, maybe on a Sunday afternoon. And I got to know a missionary, the Christian Missionary Alliance had a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
Wes Schamberger, I think was his name. Got to know him and his wife and his children. Informally. I think his name was Wes Schamberger.
Okay, right.
Close to that. That may not be quite right.
Mm-hmm.
But Wes Schlander, that was it. But mm-hmm. he lived just a few miles out of town, right near our horticulture station.
Uh-huh.
And I got to know them, and he visited with us about some of the needs of the tribes people. But we really, as I said, didn't have that much contact with actual farmers.
Right, because you were on a research station,
yeah,
as opposed to agriculture extension. That was certainly, and then even in Baulang. That's more of a college and school. So
yeah,
you're still on the research angle. Yeah, not yeah, making.
I didn't. I had a little contact with students at Baulang.
Right.
Might take them out and show them some of what we were doing, but it was very informal contact.
What about friendships developed with students that you had to teach English?
Oh yes, I got to know some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, one of the young men that I taught English at Hung Lock later became an interpreter for IVS. He learned his English well enough, and he got a job as an interpreter with IVS.
Oh, good, good. You still keep any contact with anyone?
I know Chi, of course, who's in Washington, D.C.,
oh, that's
but
right.
I don't
sure.
keep any personal contact with
okay.
any of them anymore.
Uh-huh.
I wrote to the one interpreter we had after I left Vietnam. I corresponded with him a time or two for maybe a year and then discontinued. But
yeah.
In recent years, no, I have no contact with him.
Okay. What's your impression of IDS as an organization then?
Then?
Yeah.
I was very impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I thought we were treated fairly. Of course, I came back through Washington, D.C. and got my certificate for the 2 years of being in Vietnam while
mm-hmm.
I stopped by and visited there and at the office. And
was Knopfinger still in charge then?
No, there was a gentleman who was a former agriculturalist from Arkansas. I can't remember his name. He's been dead good many years. But he was in charge of that office at that time, 1961. He had been to Vietnam. I'd met him. And of course, Dr. Russell, we were looking at some of the material reports he wrote a while ago in Texas. I remember visiting with him a time or two. He was sort of a consultant with IBS. I think he was a rural sociologist. I never did meet Dr. Nelson.
Okay.
So.
I didn't think that you had.
No, I was very impressed with the group of young men that I worked with there in Vietnam. I think they were very dedicated, had very high morals. I don't think I could have worked with a better group of
mm-hmm.
young fellows. And I had many close friendships that I developed there that I would consider all of them very good friends, although I have very little contact anymore, other than I do write Christmas cards to some of the fellows, even after 35 years. So as I say, we did establish some close friendships, probably closer friendships than I established while I was in college.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I still keep in touch with some people I was in Peace Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some of them, like Don Smith, I've corresponded with professionally over the years, our interest in agronomy and plant pathology.
That's true, sure, yeah, yeah. Because you guys were all were you all out of land-grant colleges?
I suspect so, of the group that was there then. That's
time.
Who they were looking for, yes.
Yeah, very pointed, very directed sort of recruitment patterns.
Backgrounds in agriculture is what they were looking for, because that was the specific mission of the contract with USON at that time.
Yeah. So on other campuses, they may not have even sent an announcement. other people on other campuses wouldn't have even known about IBS.
Well, other than, let's say, in Laos, they were hiring people in education,
some of the people there. Okay.
So, but it would depend on the specific advertisement. They would obviously send those for agriculture just to the land grant institutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You'd still be in contact with the organization. And
yes, I still get mailings from them. I still contribute to them.
Yeah, in terms of... thinking back again to the organization at that time, you give it very high ratings. If you had to give a quick kind of little statement about what IBS's mission would have been at that time, what their primary goals, purposes would be as an organization in at least Vietnam, how would you phrase it?
Well, I think they mentioned it in the purpose was people-to-people relations. That's what IBS's purpose was. But our purpose then was people-to-people relations and improving agricultural production and rural life in Vietnam at that time, I think, that was our goal.
Yeah, how close do you think you got to achieving your goals?
Well, we did what little 20 people could do in a 2-year period of time where we just had the basic BS in agriculture, and of course, as I'd said, I thought anything I did or said, you know, would be of instant use and need in Vietnam, and of course I found out that my knowledge was much less than I thought, and their knowledge was much greater than I thought, and some of the things I could do could help, but some of the ideas we had from our particular agricultural locations could not be transplanted directly into tropical agriculture, and we soon learned that. So I think that we certainly helped the Vietnamese government getting these stations established, but as I mentioned in the chapter I wrote in this book that we were discussing, that I made the comment there that I'd certainly gained a lot from my experience in Vietnam, but I don't know how much Vietnam gained from me. But I think that what we did was useful and had some value. Of course, the war erased everything that we did. So that's, I guess, neither here nor there.
Well, but it didn't quite erase all the cacao.
Well, that could be, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Bob Falasca was pretty happy that some of his cacao was still going on as a concern. And
well, I'm glad
a few other things.
Yes.
Yeah. And at least maybe some of the experiment stations, even though under a different government control, you know, would have been.
Well, I understood that the Hung Lock station was probably made into a military station, and maybe Blau was too, sometime in the 70s, I don't know. But I became aware, and of course my major interest was in agriculture and then in plant pathology, and that's why I went to graduate school in plant pathology. But I became convinced, and convinced now, that the major way we can help these countries is with a more advanced knowledge, and they have the knowledge and the expertise in many areas, and with more advanced knowledge we can help them more perhaps on some of the specifics of agricultural science and technology. Many of their scientists are on the same level we are, so we can help them more as counterparts and helping to fill in on some of the specific areas they may have less knowledge on. So I have a little different attitude now, you know, on what, if I was going to go back to Vietnam now, what I would like to do is to work with their plant pathologists perhaps and make contributions in some areas where I might have strengths that they didn't.
Rather than working out in an experiment station.
Yes, on a very basic level.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, now you're also at a bit higher level than you were when you were...
Yes.
like 22.
That's right. That's right.
So that's, you know, I mean, when you were 22 years old, you would not have been working with the top plant pathologists in that country.
That's correct. And they probably didn't have any.
No, it's
PhD
true.
Pathologist in South Vietnam, not more than one or two.
Yeah. There's one thing that you mentioned, and then you said, well, it's neither here nor there, but it may not have been. Well, it's still a question that I have. It's, you know, the fact that extension programs and assistance can happen, or, you know, be pumped into a country, but then the effect of war, harming at least, if not destroying everything, all the progress that's been made. Do you think there was a point that maybe IVS, because, you know, IVS, at least in Vietnam, stayed until 1971 when the government itself of South Vietnam said, that's enough.
Yes.
Do you think it might have been better for IVS to withdraw even before that?
Well, I don't know what went into making those decisions, but as I listened to other IVSers, and as I did at the 35th anniversary we had, I would have been very concerned about the safety in those late 60s.
Uh-huh.
And obviously several IVSers lost their lives at that time. So certainly in the type of work I was doing, if we would have been extremely restricted, we could have worked in a small area, and we tended to work in a small area anyway. But as far as any opportunity for people-to-people interactions, that would have been extremely limited. So I really can't answer that. I don't have the background to answer that. But I've had some question in my mind as perhaps why they stayed as long as they did.
Yeah. So too do I. Mm-hmm. You know, if for the sake of the volunteers, for the sake of the projects you're supposed to be doing, and why become a part of this? You know, for the sake of the organization and its own integrity, pull out, you know, rather than see it all go down the tubes.
I don't know, perhaps there was some interest in the U.S. government by saying, look, our young people can work here, the country is reasonably safe, we are winning the war. Maybe there was some of that involved. I have no idea.
I'm sure there was some of that.
Yes.
You know? I think that's almost to the point of a given. But nonetheless, that's the government itself, which is footing the bill. But then there's also IVS as an organization, which maybe should have said,
The morality
this is not,
of the situation, I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, you know, at some point, are we even effective?
Yes.
Are we going to get people hurt? And then what about the basic morality? Those three areas are all very vague.
They were involved primarily in teaching, were they not? So they would have been inside of a little village and teaching students, maybe in a classroom right
there. Or in larger cities, too.
Yes.
Some of which might have been well protected. But what city was well protected in 68?
That's right.
You know,
that's
so
what we found out.
You know, I have real qualms, and I'm saying this on tape because I'm still working them out.
Sure.
And what I found, this is kind of fun, and maybe this should be off tape, but what the heck. Everyone, as far as I go in chronological order, even if somebody was there in 67, in 69, you know, right up almost to the end, or, well, they would say, well, yeah, it was still okay when I was there, but gee, after I left, it really got bad. You know, and I'd be talking to someone who went through the Tet Offensive.
Okay, yes.
And they're still saying it was okay when I was there. I think it's people get so accustomed to a situation that they don't realize how bad it was.
And people were being killed at that time, I guess.
Yeah, and they still would say, well, we should still bend
the
there.
The first IVSer was killed, what, about 63?
I don't know the exact first one.
Seems like I heard they discussed that some at our 35th reunion. I don't remember.
Yeah. And then between Laos and Vietnam, there's crossing over.
I was amazed at the 35th reunion to learn how many IVSers had lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them were also, I think, in Laos.
Yes.
And
oh, yes.
Countries, yes.
Yeah, and actually about as many there as Vietnam.
Okay.
But anyway, it's getting to be about 20 of 6 now.
Yes. Right.
And I know that you have commitments to your wife, and you said before dark, it's not quite dark, but it's not that far away. So I'm going to thank you for coming in today and talking with me.
Enjoyed visiting with you.
And I'll turn this off now and say goodbye. Goodbye.